Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined by a colleague and friend of many years, F. Michael Maloof. He is today a senior staff writer for national security affairs at WND and also at G2 Bulletin. But before that, for some 30 years or so, he was one of the go-to guys inside the office of the Secretary of Defense on a whole host of issues, notably during my time there in matters involving technology security. In fact, he served as the Director of Technology Security Operations. He is also an author, among other things, of A Nation Forsaken, EMP, The Escalating Threat of an American Catastrophe. We'll talk about that with Michael in the course of our chat. Welcome, sir. It's always good to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Frank. Appreciate it.
You broke a story the other day that I think just is astounding, to the effect that the United States government has telegraphed a punch in terms of what it has in mind for a major campaign in the counter-Islamic State activity in Iraq. Tell us what they've disclosed and what that might portend for that particular operation, Michael Maloof.
Yeah, well, the briefing itself was off the record. It was a teleconference and with Central Command, with a general, Give, but and a senior official, and we were astounded when he revealed that they were talking about going after Mosul, getting back Mosul in an April May time frame, and we've known about. Mosul and the desire to take it back. But not only did he lay out the time frame, but he also said, gave details on how many troops it's going to take to actually take back Mosul, from 20 to 25,000. And we're all just sitting there, scratching our heads, saying, well, why are you revealing this kind of detail? And the lead up to it was, I think, to show that And the information he provided beforehand was basically to say, well, ISIS is on the run. ISIS is in a defensive mode. They're actually not regaining territory, even though they took al-Baghdadi and the town. But he said that that's just a temporary thing, but they're not showing significant movement and progress as they did in the lead-up to taking over the caliphate. And then he mentioned that now we're going to go back and take back Mosul, and we're going to do it in this time frame with this many troops, but we're going to have to train these guys. Well, we began scratching our heads some more, and we said, wait a minute. I mean, we've been training Iraqis for years, and then the first time when Mosul fell, some 13,000 troops, Iraqi troops, gave up all of their equipment and ran against an onslaught of only 2,000 invaders and fighters from ISIS, and we wondered, well, how are these guys going to be even ready? And that's one of the lingering issues. Are they even going to be ready? Of course, we're going to be training them as well as Peshmerga, and it's all going to be within this time frame leading up to April, May. Now, the caveat was, well, if they're not ready, then we won't do it. But we want to do it before Ramadan, which this year occurs mid-June.
Now, Michael, let me just ask you, because, again, you are a serious student of these matters. You've spent a lot of time with the military in the Pentagon and elsewhere. Just as a basic matter of principle, isn't this the kind of information you don't want to give the enemy, particularly months in advance? I mean, talk about this in the context of the sort of defense of this disclosure that the Pentagon subsequently gave you, which you've written about at WND.
Well, we were astounded. In fact, we were floored when we heard this level of detail. We basically telegraphed to ISIS that Mosul was on our was definitely going to be hit. This is how we were going to do it. This is how many troops we were going to. And this actually then gives ISIS the opportunity then to reinforce itself. These guys live to die, if you will, because they want to be martyrs, and there's nothing more that they would like than to have a standoff with us. They know they took Mosul in the first place, and they probably think, well, if if they're going to be using Iraqi troops and not U.S. troops, we can do what we did before when we took Mosul.
Especially the relatively small number of them, 25,000 people, to liberate an entire city really seems to me to be a stretch. You quote Senator Tom Cotton, who was himself an Iraq war veteran.
Yeah, it's a city. Mosul, by the way, is a city of 1.5 million. And we recall the experience we had with taking Fallujah. And that was with U.S. Marines. And that was an incredible effort.
And a smaller city. Talk a little bit about Senator Tom Cotton's response. Tom was a former Iraq war veteran, of course. And he gave you some pretty choice quotes on this subject.
Yeah, he, along with General McNamara, were just absolutely astounded by this, and they believe, I think, that the mission's going to actually fail. That their concern is that it's not going to work. We shouldn't have telegraphed like this, and now we've tipped off the enemy on what we're going to be doing, and they can then make adjustments. They can set up the IEDs, the traps, and just lay out all kinds of tripwires and booby traps for any of the people. Look, when they took over that base where we have Marines just outside of al-Baghdadi, they were actually able to get within the perimeter of the base, and we have 300 Marines there, 320 Marines, who are trainers. Now, the trainers we have there, they're not equipped to deal with combat. They're not trained to be combat soldiers. They're trained as special operators, and they could probably put up a fierce fight, but they're not equipped, nor do they have the backup to deal with an onslaught.
Yeah, this is a point that General Jerry Boykin made to us the other day, that we need to be reinforcing those guys and giving them the capability they need to fight these guys tooth and tong. Michael Maloof, what this really points out, I think, is not only the micromanagement of the Pentagon by the White House, but also its failure to observe even the most basic of security procedures. And it really further raises questions about the president's authorization for the use of military force and, well, more generally, his role as commander in chief. Michael Maloof is our guest with WND. You can find terrific reporting on national security matters of all stripes from Michael at WND.com. But, Michael, let me turn to another topic that, as I mentioned, you've focused on intensively and I think very effectively, and that is the vulnerability of our electrical grid. This is an issue that we believe is really of surpassing importance. I know you do as well. What would you say to the president, if you had his ear, about both the need and the feasibility of doing something to address that vulnerability?
Well, I would basically say that the need is absolutely critical. We have an already vulnerable electrical grid system throughout the United States, and it's my information that he's very aware of this, and he could be signing an executive order to DHS today that would basically make EMP or electromagnetic pulse events a matter of national priority to react to in case there is a national emergency to try to avoid any catastrophe or calamity. Because an EMP, a widespread EMP, will definitely impact on all of our critical infrastructures that depend upon the grid and any of our electronic components, and even all of our automated control systems that we have out there and that we take for granted on a daily basis, from running the gas pump to moderating the oil and gas pipelines. We have over 1 million miles of oil and gas pipelines that are basically run by these automated control systems. And EMP would effectively knock those out.
And the point you're making here, I think, is so critical, Michael, is that you're looking at something that could involve a simple nuclear weapon detonated in space over the United States, something that several countries now have the capability to do, and others are seeking to acquire it. We also, of course, have other threats to the grid, more prosaic, sabotage, cyber attacks, radio frequency weapons, and the like. So this is a critical problem, and I can't thank you enough for what you do to raise awareness about it and call for urgent action on it. We agree with you, and our Secure the Grid Coalition at the Center for Security Policy is very appreciative of your work. Michael, we have to leave it at that, I'm afraid. I appreciate as well your past service to our country in the Pentagon, and I also hope that you will continue to do your great work at WND and come back to us again very soon. Next up, Von Hipp joins us. We'll talk about his new book and what it tells us about how to win the war we're in. Straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.